You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Yesterday, the first private emergency room in Canada opened its doors to give the media a tour of its facilities. The clinic at False Creek in Vancouver is calling itself an urgent care center. It's preparing to open for business on Monday. Dr. Margaret McGregor is with the Canadian Doctors for Medicare, and she joins me on the phone this morning to discuss the clinic. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
Now, in what way is this clinic different from other private clinics in terms of the services it offers?
Well, yesterday I would have said that it's different because people would be provided access based on the availability of their Visa card. And due to late-breaking news last night, it looks like now individuals accessing this clinic can provide a care card, and the clinic has agreed after a late meeting yesterday with Minister Abbott that they would not charge fees out of pocket for services at this clinic.
Now, you're going to have to explain that to me. It's hard for me to understand how, then, this is not just another clinic opening up like any other clinic, a group of doctors deciding to provide a service. How is it different from that?
Well, I suppose it's different in scale, in the sense that there's a lot of money that's gone into investing in diagnostic equipment, x-ray machines, capacity to give intravenous. So it's, you know, the initial capital going into such an enterprise is of a much, much greater scale than a group of doctors finding an office and setting up for business. But, you know, essentially, you're right, in terms of the form of payment, it is similar. I would assume that this is a pretty large-scale private-for-profit company because, again, there's a lot of capital that's gone into it. And most doctors' offices are not at all at that scale. They're usually two or three doctors that work together or even, you know, one or two.
Now, yesterday the government was saying that they were looking at an injunction to stop the clinic opening its doors on Monday morning. Have you any idea how they got from that position to saying that they would fund it through the public system?
Well, I think they basically probably, you know, I wasn't there at the meeting, but they basically probably said that it's illegal under the Canada Health Act to allow access based on ability to pay. And presumably, the provincial government then said, well, we will allow you to bill fee for service in the usual way, and you can stay open. But I have no idea. I wasn't there. And, you know, you'd really have to ask the players involved.
What has been the reaction of the provincial government to this kind of clinic, the possibilities of this kind of clinic? Because I understand that there was a letter sent back in January by the person who's going to open the clinic saying that he intended to do that.
Well, again, it's hard to know without kind of being privy to, you know, the correspondence and the process. But it's very possible they sent one letter and then, you know, other events took precedent. Or it's possible that, you know, the government may in fact welcome those types of initiatives as long as they don't contravene the Canada Health Act. Again, I don't know. I can't second guess what the government was thinking there. My own concerns about something like this, regardless of whether it's paid for by the public system or not, is that it still might have the effect of drawing very necessary resources away from the our hospital system, our public system, because, you know, you're using nurses, you're using x-ray technicians and physicians, which are always also in very scarce supply in the public system. And so it's not like there's lots of these folks around to run two systems efficiently. And if you pull them away from the public system, it's likely to have a detrimental effect on that and cause longer wait lists for the hospital system.
So the clinic itself is being run basically like a hospital emergency room, is it? Can it provide all the same kind of services?
It can provide all the ambulatory services. So the things that require a hospital admission, complex medical care, the things actually that are causing the emergency room crowding, it will not address at all. You know, when you go to emergency stretchers lining the hallway, these are folks who've essentially been admitted to the hospital, and there's no beds for them upstairs. And this type of a setup will not address this in any way. The other concern, of course, is that if you're going to set up a publicly funded urgent care system that's privately delivered, you want it in a place that's accessible to people that need it. And, you know, holding it down at False Creek, where I don't think the bus service is very good, just doesn't seem to be an appropriate place to invest our, you know, the public's precious resources.
Is it going to cost the public system more to when patients go down to that clinic and get services delivered there?
Again, I don't know the details of that, but I assume they're billing at the usual rate. So it's not going to cost the public more if you simply look at that clinic. However, by drawing precious resources away from the hospital-based urgent care centers, it may well put an undue burden on the public system to only deal with the complex cases. It'll draw resources. The money-making types of interventions will be taken away from the public system and basically will go into making profit for this type of an endeavor, and the public system will lose.
When you talk about a money-making type of procedure, what would that be, medically speaking?
Well, let me think. When you go into a hospital and you can be seen very quickly, and the system can bill the government X amount of dollars, and it doesn't use up a huge amount of resources, and I can get you out of the door fast and see the next person, that's likely to generate more profit. And by profit, I mean the difference between what I spent on providing the care and what the government pays me to do it. So it's a sort of the gap between, you know, the cost of giving the care and what I can bill government for. That's likely to be, much greater if it's a quick and fairly straightforward intervention. If you come in and you got your diabetes and your congestive heart failure, and you've got a number of complaints that require a lot of analysis and thought, then it's likely that the amount that I'm able to bill the government for compared to the resources I put out is not going to be, you know, there's not going to be very much gap there.
Are those kinds of patients then likely to be turned away from this clinic?
Well,
and
they
said
very clearly they won't take anyone on a stretcher. They won't accept ambulance patients. So they're just going to accept the, quote, walking wounded. And the walking wounded are not what's causing the big crowds in emergency rooms. It's the other type of patient.
Okay. So if we see, I guess we've got this one clinic making, I guess they took their stand and they decided to open their doors, and then the provincial government having responded the way it has, can we expect to see more clinics opening like this, do you think?
Well, certainly that's a concern. Does that mean that anyone who throws together the capital and sets up anywhere will then kind of force the government into funding them? And really at the detriment of having a careful, well-thought-out system based on, you know, where services are needed the most.
I'm wondering about what the new situation that was announced last night means for the doctors who are going to be working at the False Creek Clinic. I believe there's 24 doctors working there, and there was a concern expressed yesterday about those doctors being in a position of dual practice, practicing both in the public system and in the private sector. Will that still be the case?
Yes,
now?
That'll still be the case. There's no difference there. The only difference is that the income that those doctors get in the private urgent care clinic will be billed to the government. But that clinic will still be constituted on a for-profit basis. Its goal will be to generate money to turn a profit for its shareholders. And that's a quite different business model from a public nonprofit organization.
Is dual practice illegal under the Canada Health Act?
No, it does not appear. Well, again, it depends. You know, we've got to make the distinction between private payers and private providers.
Right.
Practicing in publicly funded, privately delivered care is not illegal. Practicing in privately funded, privately delivered care is illegal. So in other words, the situation on Friday was illegal. The situation today is not illegal.
Now, your group, Doctors for Medicare, is obviously opposed to this. What have other doctors been saying about it?
Well, until yesterday, we were extremely opposed to the idea that access was based on ability to pay and not on need. Today, you know, I have had no chance to talk to my colleagues or anyone about this new development. Some of the same concerns that we raised yesterday, such as drawing precious resources from the public system, are still a concern. Of course, the other concern is that there's other clinics in Vancouver where, particularly the surgical clinics, where we're hearing many more stories about people actually being told that they can wait for 2 years in the public system or pay X amount of dollars in BC next week. So even though the issue of access based on money has sort of, at least to this point, being settled at the emergency clinic that we're talking about now, there's other clinics around where clearly having money counts, and that is against the Canada Health Act.
What would you have liked to see the provincial government do in this case?
I think I'd like to see the provincial government say that we should expand the urgent care clinics we have now and provide them with better publicity. There's a very good urgent care clinic at Mount St. Joseph's. UBC has a very good one in the public system. I would like to see the government look at some of the initiatives to support long-term care facilities so they're not transferring very sick patients to the hospital so that they can reduce the crowds in emergency. You know, to really look at what's causing the waits in emergency and addressing that, not simply responding to a group of entrepreneurs who want to, you know, develop a for-profit clinic.
Well, thank you very much for taking our call this morning, Margaret.
You're welcome.
It's been really interesting talking to you.
You too.
I've been speaking with Dr. Margaret McGregor. She is with Canadian Doctors for Medicare.